It's Saturday night.
Five.
Saturday night.
Get ready for the Saturday night.
Louder!
Saturday night's alright.
On Saturday night.
Because his ADP is so criminally low, but like obviously, yeah. Like he's a screaming buy to me in that case. So next one on Josh's list is Chris Godwin, wide receiver 23.44 from the average that I pulled. Josh has him at 22 between Hollywood and Judy. I've got him all the way down at 33 between Christian Kirk and Rashad Bateman. Tell me about Godwin, Josh.
Yeah, so I made a remark earlier how I don't think the Tampa Bay pass offense yet isn't going to drop that much. Now, yeah, it will take a set down from Tom Brady. Almost any team would. But I think Chris Godwin is the one who's going to be hurt the least by this, and that's mainly because he's had four straight top 15 wide receiver seasons in points per game, which I think is a little bit more important than overall season. I think it tells you more. I've seen reports of them trying to use him more and use him more creatively. He ran 73% of snaps in the slot last year. I think they're going to move him around a little bit more, and I think he's a plenty good enough route runner to be able to make that change. And he had 104 receptions in 15 games, and that's coming off an ACL tear. So I don't even think he was 100%, but he still was able to go get 104 receptions. They threw the ball a lot. I don't think they'll throw as much as they did, but I think he has a much better chance to survive life without Tom Brady than, you know, Mike Evans might. So I just think he's good enough to where he's still going to be the guy there, and he's still going to get his. And he's shown to be good at touchdowns too and not be just yardage.
You know, yeah, I mean, I'll buy that he can adapt to Baker's arm in a way that maybe, you know, Mike Evans can't. But that's also reflected in my rankings because I've kind of buried Mike Evans in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, Godwin is a guy that I've loved that just has never really been what I thought he could be, right? He just was continually slipping in my rankings the more other guys were rising and the more now that I put in the rookies, right? And add into the fact that it's Baker in a putrid offense and the touchdowns are going to decrease and, You know, he benefited a lot from Tom Brady, and I just can't bring myself to really raise him much at all. But I will say this: we'll probably going to do a show on something about this, about wide receivers. But like, I have a tier of wide receivers from I think 17 to 26, and then 26 to 37, or something like that. That really, it's a soft tier break. It could really be all one big old tier that is essentially, I don't know, like they're all wide receiver twos, right? Yeah. They're all or high end wide receiver threes, and it's like they could go one way or the other depending on what happens on their offenses and get the plus for you know, on top of a guy if you can, because they're fairly interchangeable, right? You know, so I don't necessarily think it's out of the question that 6 weeks into the year, like my ranking on Godwin's going to look a lot closer to yours. It's just that right now I can't really do that. I mean, I like guys above him, like you know, Dotson and Amari Cooper and Deontay Johnson and Jerry Jeudy, and I just Christian Kirk. I just can't with Baker at quarterback. I think they're going to be them in Arizona are really going to be like a dumpster fire this year. And I don't know, maybe I'm just too doom and gloom on that offense. Godwin, valued around the 107 still though, according to DTC, he's still going in the seventh round roughly in startups between Flowers and Terry McLaurin. Godwin and the 105 for the 104. So you're getting out of Gibbs territory into more of a guaranteed quarterback.
If I've got three starting quarterbacks, like two good ones and then like Mac Jones or somebody on my bench, I would definitely do that trade back, get Godwin and still be able to get JSN, and you have according to my rankings, you know, two top 24 wide receivers just for, you know, one slot. So I would do that.
Yeah, I don't know. See, and I'm looking at it from the perspective of, like, I don't care what's on my team. That 104 quarterback spot, you know, unless you're in one of these drafts where they're getting too cute and taking Gibbs before a quarterback, which I'm not going to talk about. But, you know, that the value of that quarterback spot, like, and you're only going to give me Godwin to get there, forget it, right? At the same time, if I'm in the 105 and I know that I can vault up and get a rookie quarterback and all I have to add is Godwin, then sure, I'll do it. Godwin straight up for Geno.
I think Geno is a really good quarterback too in Superflex. So I'm probably, I can find, as much as I like Godwin, I can find receivers elsewhere. And I've also boosted up my, despite rankings, just how highly I value quarterbacks in Superflex. Because I got burned pretty bad in some leagues last year where I didn't draft heavily on quarterback.
Godwin, Pittman, and the 107 for Fields.
I think I'll take the three picks.
I'm taking
Depends
Fields.
On team build.
I'm thinking he was pretty easily there. I mean, he's an elite quarterback in a super flex. Pittman, I like him, but he's part of that tier of wide receivers who could go either way, you know, and there's a non-zero chance that, you know, Richardson actually hurts Pittman's value at some point. And Godwin attached to Baker, like, you know, you're asking me to give up a quarterback in a super flex who, you know, should be valued around, like, I don't know, 2.5, 3 first round picks, right? You know, and for that, yeah, I don't know that I can do that.
Yeah, looking where I have where Addison and Flowers go, I think I would take Justin Fields. For some reason, I don't think I could get Jason or Gibbs with that pick, but 107, yeah.
Yeah, you're starting to get in that territory where, like, those guys aren't going to slide down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Godwin. And a 24 second for Jordan Love.
Godwin and a 24 second?
For Jordan Love.
I'll take Godwin in a second.
I think I might roll the dice on Jordan Love there and say, listen, really? I'm adding a second on top of a wide receiver that could go either way for, you know, a shot at, you know, a pretty decent quarterback too in Superfly, you know. Give me the quarterback.
Yeah.
All right. Next one on my list is high-end quarterback two. Speaking of quarterback two, so this is really a Russ versus Daniel Jones debate, right? Russ, who in the streets is averaging quarterback 21.44, and Daniel Jones in the streets is averaging 16.44. Josh has them ranked pretty much like that, with Daniel Jones at 16 between Stroud and Lance, and Russ at 21 between Geno and Mac. I have them slightly flipped. I have Russ at 16 between Young and Stroud, and I have Daniel Jones at 19 between Cousins and Goff. The reason I like Russ better is I think he's got two good bounce-back years left with Sean Payton incoming and the weapons he has. And whereas Daniel Jones, I could see the case to be made that he should be higher, or at least, you know, in a couple years, it's going to look that way. You know, and he does probably now at this point bring as much or more a rushing component to the game than Russ does. He's attached to Brian Daboll, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I think he should. I don't think he deserved the contract that he got. I think he is a mid quarterback. I think he's very mediocre. And now you're asking me to have faith in him when Saquon's future remains uncertain, and they have the stable of who whatchamacallits and who's a what's-its at wide receiver that we just talked about. I just can't bring myself to say solidly, you know, that I'm going to take Daniel Jones where he is at cost, where I could take Russ at cost. I just don't think the difference, even if I'm wrong, is really justified there. According to DTC, Jones is being valued right around the 107 with Russ at the 109. And that doesn't sound like much, right? But when you think about, you know, that's Jordan Addison and possibly if Stroud or JSN slide, or you're looking at, you know, Kincaid in a 1.75 or higher, or, you know, Zay Flowers, or, you know, that sort of like Quentin Johnston, like, you know, that's a difference, right? But, you know, I just don't see how, you know, people can have, you know, him as low as 22, 23, which I'm seeing out in the market. Whereas like pretty much everybody has, it's really weird. Jones is 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 17, 16, 16, 19, 16, right? Like everybody loves him at 16. Tell me why Jones should be above Russ.
So the case for Jones is every year since he's been the starter, they haven't had very many weapons to go to. They had decent receivers, but they're always hurt. And each year he's shown improvement. And that includes last year. He only had 5 interceptions. You know, the 15 touchdowns isn't great, but I think Darren Waller would help with that. Wandell being healthy will definitely help, you know, with the passing game too. But he also showed really good rushing ability that's kind of underrated for him. He doesn't really have too many design runs, but he showed really good ability to be able to, you know, escape the pocket, go up for a run, pick up big first downs. And he was also just really clutch last year. In big games, he showed up. He didn't turn the ball over, didn't make stupid decisions. And I think he's just going to continue to get better. And I think Waller and Wandell are, while it's not great, it's still, I think, better than what he's had, you know, with a healthy Saquon to go. So I'm just, you know, I like him right there behind Stroud and Bryce Young at 15 and 14.
All right. But you're telling me that's better than Russ with Sean Payton, Jerry Jeudy, Marvin Mims, whatever's left of Courtland Sutton, Greg Dulcich, Adam Trautman, you know, a decent enough running game, probably with P. Ryan and then Javonte returning, like that's worth less than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think so. And the main thing is I would just rather have the people above Russell Wilson where I have him, because above him I have Geno Smith. He's younger. He's had his best year of his career. I think, you know, I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Jared Goff. He's got a lot of weapons now. I'd rather have Kirk Cousins, who has Justin Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson to throw to, and then Trey Lance and Daniel Jones. So I just really could not move him up ahead of any of those guys. Last year, you know, some of it was the system, but he also missed some wide open receivers. Wasn't even looking. He didn't seem to be reading the field. And I think Peyton will help simplify some things, but I don't think he's just going to make Russ better. I think Russ is declining in his career. Didn't look as mobile. You know, the last few games of the year he might have, but he's still getting older and doesn't run near as much as he used to. So I'll just rather have the other guys.
Yeah, you know, he improved toward the end of the year. I think, you know, that there's news reports that he was winning the locker room over more and that sort of thing. And, you know, I don't know. Let me put it to you this way. Would you trade Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones is going at the 412 in startups. The 412, right? He's going in between Davante Adams and Ramondre Stevenson, right? I'm going to draft him, or I'm going to draft Russ at the 705, right, between Ayuk and Kincaid, when Fantasy Trade Calculator tells me the only difference between them is the 107 and 109 in rookie drafts.
Yeah, in the drafts like that, I'm taking Ramondre or any of the guys there that's not Daniel Jones. I've drafted him a lot, but I've been able to get him in the fifth and sixth round, and I feel a little bit better about that as opposed to, you know, where you're getting Ramondre, his potential RB1, you know. So I think fourth round's a little early for me even to get Daniel Jones.
Okay, two guys that you like better than I do, Daniel Jones straight up for DJ Moore.
I'll take Daniel Jones. He's 25, 26, you know, improving. So he's a quarterback too. So I'll take Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones straight up for Debo.
Ooh, that's tough. I'll take Daniel Jones. Debo's, I really like him. He's starting to decline a little, it seems.
Daniel Jones for Jelani Woods in the 111.
Daniel Jones.
Me too, even though I'm lower on Jones than you.
The 111 is not, I do not want to pick there in this year's rookie draft.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And I love Jelani, but like, let's face it, he's Jelani. He could go either way, right? Here's an interesting one, right? Daniel Jones, Jameson Williams, and a 23 first for Justin Herbert. I'm still taking Herbert. Like,
yeah, no, I really like Justin Herbert. He's literally setting NFL records for how young he is and how good he's doing. So I mean
that's like the 105 in startups. He's like an elite super flex quarterback, you know. Yeah, that's just not enough for me.
Yep. I love Justin Herbert. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks.
Russ or the 110?
I'll take Russ. Like after Russ, the 108, 109, I'm not interested in those picks right there, honestly. So
here's a fun one for you. Russ plus the 101 plus the 202 for Mahomes. I'm taking Mahomes. Like,
is the only thing that tempted me on that. But even Mahomes is consensus best quarterback I've seen play in a while.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't. I mean, because if you go by like Russ's value, you're essentially giving the 109, the 101, and the 202 for Patrick Mahomes. And if someone offered you that, you'd be like, go kick rocks, right? Like,
yeah.
So you know, it's just. I don't know. It's not a huge difference that I have between the two quarterbacks, but I think it's something that I'm pretty convicted about. And by the way, it's not just that they're 16 and 19 because like those are numbers and we have to put them in some order. Like, you know, I use tiers as well. And like for me, Russ is towards the end of a tier of 13 through 17 and Jones is that next tier down. He's 19 in 18 to 21. He's in there with Cousins and Goff and Derek Carr. And I've got Russ in there with Tua, Lance, Bryce, and Stroud.
That's interesting because my tier starts at Daniel Jones. And I tiered it that way to where anyone above Daniel Jones is quarterback one potential. You know, I'll be comfortable with them as my first quarterback. Anything below that, so the ones I listed earlier, I'm comfortable with those as my second quarterback. They're my first quarterback. You know, I'm definitely going to be trying to get an early rookie pick or something. But that's kind of how I did mine. And Russ is still in that tier, and it goes all the way down to Sam Howell. I cut it off at Jimmy G and Aaron Rodgers. So,
okay. Julia telling us that Danny Dimes, or Vanilla Vic, as he is called, was
I love that one.
QB5 in the last seven games of the year. All right, so maybe Brian's wrong. It happens every once in a while.
I'm going after backs that don't fully rely on rushing to get points. It's an extra add-on bonus because he's smart. He doesn't get hit. He slides, and that's just extra points. So.
Yeah, it's like there's you want that rushing quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a point at which in their career. Where you're going to want that other guy now more later. Yeah, like we'll probably do a show on Fields versus Lawrence or something like that, you know, you know, and I've caved and I put Fields ahead of Lawrence. But I think in 3 years, I'm going to have Lawrence ahead of Fields.
I'd be interested in that. Cause I have Lawrence just ahead. And that one was really tough for me figuring out which one to put ahead of those.
Yeah. All right. We've each got one left on the list. Josh, to you, Rashad Penny, who I like, and it hurts me to have him ranked at 45 between Samaje Perine and Damian Harris, but I'm closer to the community on this one, which I've been off consensus a lot tonight. He's 47.11 in the streets. You have him at 35. And again, once you get past, like, whatever, running back 26, 28, like the differences are, you know, don't really mean as much. But you've got him, you know, at 35. Between Pacheco and Connor, I want to put Penny higher, and I just can't. Tell me why I should.
All right. So first of all, I should preface this that, as the kids would say, I'm a Rashad Penny stan.
Okay.
I love Rashad Penny, and when he's healthy, I think he's amazing. Yeah, it hurts to see me have him behind Pacheco, but I kind of had to do it. I couldn't really put him up too much higher. But when Rashad Penny is healthy, he is absolutely elite in yards after contact. He led the league by a wide margin. I have a chart up here. Nobody else can see it. But he averaged over 4 yards after contact, and the next closest is Ramondre, under 3.8. So that's just something you can't really teach. He's a really, really good running back. He's just marred by the weirdest injuries. None of them are reoccurring, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but he always has a major injury. That's literally the only thing from keeping him being an RB1, you know, top 12, even with Swift there. He averages almost 6 yards a carry in his career, and this is by far the best O-line he's ever had, and I think the best offensive line in the NFL. And they run the ball enough, and they have other backs where I think they won't have to run him 18 times a game like the Seahawks chose to. I think he can get 10 to 14 yards or carries a game, and with his ability, that's a home run every time he catches the ball, home run potential. You know, he'll get his yards, he'll get his touchdowns, and I don't think he'll have to be the bell cow, which I think is just going to help keep him healthy for the season. Having Swift, having Gainwell, even maybe Boston Scott, I don't know if he's still there, but
– yeah, he is, yeah.
With a good
so
line.
So is Trey Sermon and the ghost of Kennedy Brooks?
Yep. Trey, those mean – I know who they are, but they mean absolutely nothing to me anymore, which me and one of my good friends – I'll tell a story another time. We got into an argument over Trey Sermon because he told me he wanted to draft him. I drafted him before he could. Yeah. And I dropped him midway through the year. But, yeah, I just really like Rashad Penny. I'm hoping the Eagles' philosophy with Hurts, all the other running backs, he's not going to have to run enough to where his body wears down and he can stay fresh. And he's with his ability, he's still going to be really good.
Yeah, you know, I like I said, I like Penny, and I agree with you. Very, very good runner, very efficient with his touches and good at the yards after contact. I had him as high as like the mid 30s at one point, and I think it's just a matter of once we put in the rookies and once they added Swift, even though Swift isn't the same type of running back, so they're not going to eat into each other's touches. But you know, the team does like they love Boston Scott. He's like you know, And you know, Jamie brings up a good point that rushing quarterbacks do help running backs' efficiency. But we saw Sanders there do well, and that bodes well for Penny. But we also saw Sanders not do as well as we thought he should. And, like, he had a very quiet, you know, like 1,200 yards or whatever last year. And I don't think that, you know – Penny is really Sanders. He might be like a more electric player, but I don't know that he's like as well rounded as Sanders is. And I don't know. I just don't see the path there for like you say, okay, like, you know, they're going to cap, you know, he's not the bell cow. He's not the workhorse, and that's going to, you know, keep him healthy. But like that also, you know, puts a cap on what he can do. And when you're asking me to, you know, to rank running backs in that range, you know, and I add in the fact that, like, you know, nobody's injury prone, but there is a history there. And his big games at the end of the 2021 season, if you look, came against some awful teams. Like, all right, so should I have Rashad Penny above Jamal Williams?
Yes, because I almost like Kendre more than Jamal Williams, and I haven't heard anything out of Kamara, so I'm just assuming he's not going to get suspended. So, yeah.
I mean, I have Kendre and Kamara above Jamal Williams, just, you know, for certain reasons. But, like, there's a path to Jamal Williams having a sizable role on that team. And he can catch a pass or two like he did with the Packers.
Yeah.
Like, and he's pretty good with his touches, too. So, like, to me, there's more of a role, I think, in the next 2 years for Jamal Williams than there is for Rashad Penny. But I mean, they're in the same tier, right? So, like,
yeah. And that you know, the cap on that is part of the reason I put him at 35. you know, the yards after contact with the Seahawks, I watched a lot of the games. He was breaking tackles from D linemen, linebackers. If he gets good blocking and, you know, Kelce and other guys can get to the second level, he's definitely running through arm tackles from DB. So I definitely also have to bake in the fact that he's behind a really good offensive line.
So okay. That's very true. Very good O-line in Philly. Should I have Penny above – you're going to love this one. Tyjae Spears.
Tyjae Spears has, even though he hasn't played in the NFL, I think he has just as much injury concern as Rashad Penny does.
I can't get with that. I think he's younger, he's more well-rounded. Like, should I have Jamie, hold on to your seat. Should I have Rashad Penny above Roschon Johnson?
Ooh, let me actually see where I have Roschon, because I was higher on Roschon before I answered this. No, you shouldn't. I have Penny ahead of Roschon.
So I should have Penny ahead of Roschon.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Okay, so these are all guys that are in the same tier with Penny that I have above. I have above Penny, including somebody that Julia asked a question about a little while back. You're the Falcons fan, Algier. I have him at the top of this tier of 38 to 46 at 38. You know, I think he's a premier handcuff to have. I think he will have some role on the team. They're going to run the ball a lot, so it's not like he's going to go from 1,000 yards to like go, you know, be the water boy. But you know, Bijan's Bijan, right? So
yeah.
He's a Bijan injury away from being, you know, a running back that you want. I have him at 38, right about now. Where do you have Algier?
I have Algier at 38. Actually, I bumped him down a good bit, but I have Penny ahead of him. But yeah, I have him right behind Tank, actually. So
why Penny ahead of Algier when Algier is a Bijan Robinson twisted ankle away from, you know, a big role, and we've seen Algier, you know, break 1,000 yards in his rookie year and catch a surprising number of passes.
I think it's just me really liking Rashad Penny's upside behind that offensive line. You know, I might be overestimating that because the Falcons have not had a good offensive line since I can remember. Which, I mean, made Algier's year more impressive. But, you know, I just think Rashad Penny when behind that line is just going to be better.
Julia reminded me that Jamal Williams is not the number one. I didn't say he's the number one running back. That the path is there, assuming that Kamara gets suspended for 6 to 8 games. And then what's left, it's him and Kendre. He's the 1A or the 1B there while Kamara is gone. That's what I meant. My bad. Jamie, what have you done? You still
get
have
on board,
Penny
Jamie.
Above Roschon? Oh,
you can be both a Penny and a Roschon guy.
It's not about agreeing with me. It's about staying on his brand. What are you doing? Oh, man. What are you doing? Although, you know, like I said, I do have them. I do have them in the same tier. You know, maybe I'm a little low on Penny. All right, and the last one that I'm going to talk about tonight is 2021 running backs. Big boys, Najee, Ramondre, and Javonte. So the way this shakes out is largely explained by the fact that, like, you're keeping Walker and Etienne up, and I'm bumping them down, right? So I think it, like, shifts one over the other. But I wanted to talk about the outlook for these running backs and particularly why you have Javonte above the other two, right? So Najee, I have him at 7 between Jacobs and Eckler. I have Ramondre at 9, Eckler, Ramondre, tier break, Pollard. I have Javonte at 15, Walker, tier break, Javonte, Swift. Josh has Najee at 16 between Dobbins and Chubb. Ramondre at 14 between Gibbs and Dobbins. Javonte at 12 between Swift and Gibbs. The streets agree with Josh a lot more. They have Najee 11.78, Ramondre at 12.78, and Javonte at 14.56. So they agree with me a little bit more on Javonte being lower, but they agree with you a little bit more on Najee and Ramondre. It doesn't feel comfortable for me to put Najee and Ramondre that high. But when you have conviction like I do in bumping down Etienne and Walker, that's what you're left with, right? And so I'm looking at my running back ranks and my tiers, right? And so I got John J.P. Tall, in tier one, CMC and Saquon in tier two, and then a tier of Jacobs, Najee, Eckler, and Ramondre. Once you get past Barkley, I kind of don't really want to rely much on my running backs six through nine. They don't feel like running backs I want to have at six through nine, but I can't justify putting them any higher for sure. And I can't justify putting guys below them, above them, like some people do in Pollard and Gibbs and Etienne and Kenneth Walker. Najee played better toward the end of the year as he was moving forward from Lisfranc. They've improved the O-line. The overall offense got better. Pickett got better. I think things are looking good for Najee. Don't get me wrong, right? He was an older rookie. He's inefficient. He's relying on volume. He's kind of gross, right? But he's a three-down back in an offense that's going to use him a lot, which the same can kind of be said for Ramondre. He's, you know, Ramondre has been a lover of mine. I've been a big Ramondre guy since before the NFL draft that year. I said Ramondre was a sell. I kind of still think he is. Like, I was able to get a 24 first and a sprinkle for Ramondre in a couple places. Like, but, you know, when the dust settled after the NFL draft, he was left standing, right? With, you know, really only Pierre Strong as a complimentary back there. I don't know that Kevin Harris and James Robinson are really gonna eat into his two down touches. Now, it remains to be seen, you know, how big a role the running backs have in the Bill O'Brien offense this year. And certainly they might not be so reliant on the ground game as they were, but, you know, I don't know. I just can't put other guys above him that are below him. And Javonte, I love Javonte. He was my RB3 in that class above Ramondre. But the fact remains that his knee injury was much more complex than a guy like Breece Hall's was, right? And we have mixed reports about how he's going to be coming back, right? The team went out and got P. Ryan and told P. Ryan, we're not just getting you because Javonte Williams isn't here. We're getting you because we like to use multiple backs, which Peyton does. And he did when he was in New Orleans, when he had the quality guys there. And P. Ryan is a quality guy. While he might be, you know, whatever, 27 or 28, he has a three down skill set, right? And filled in well, very admirably for Mixon when Mixon was hurt. So I've got Javonte starting that next tier below Pollard, Gibbs, Dobbins, Etienne, Walker, tier break, Javonte Williams, Swift, Derrick Henry, Chubb. I want to shoot Javonte up all the way into that tier with Jacobs, Najee, Eckler, and Ramondre. I want him there. And he may end up there soon. But as of now, I just can't put him up there. So does anything besides the fact that, like, we have Etienne and Walker so different explain the gap between us on Najee and Ramondre? And also, why Javonte above those two?
Yeah, so one of the two differences I've noticed is I have Tony Pollard and DeAndre Swift at 10 and 11. So that's just two extra people with Kenneth Walker and ETN. That I have above them, because I have Josh Jacobs at 7, Eckler at 6. I saw Javonte ahead because I'm not a fan of the way, for fantasy, the way New England uses their backs. I like Kevin Harris a good bit. I just think Javonte, after this year, is going, hopefully, you know, if Sean Payton stays, going to be, you know, one of the main runners there and not just be forced into a committee. I'm not as high on him this year. I probably won't have him in any redraft leagues or anything. But that's just me trying to, you know, play the long con and just hope in 2 to 3 years he's back to being that guy that we saw coming out of college. And given his age, if he doesn't re-injure himself, you know, he'll be, you know, a top five back. So Ramondre, it's just system, other backs there. I really like him. I just like, you know, the dynamic ability that Gibbs brings, passing and running, and J.K. Dobbins right behind him. I do have a question, a trade, since it kind of bakes into talking about quarterbacks. It's this Najee one I put in the Discord earlier. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's Najee Harris and Jordan Love for Rashad White and a 24 first. Projected to be late because it'll be mine. This needs context. I have Josh Allen and Kyler So right now I have Baker in my QB2 spot while Kyler's hurt. So that would give me Jordan Love to put.
I mean, I think no matter what, no matter what your roster was, I'm smashing the Najee side, right? You see, I'm higher on Najee than you are, and the streets are. I'm lower on White than you are, and the streets are. The 24 first is late, and Jordan Love is, you know, a low cost ticket into who's to say that in 4, 5, 6 months, Jordan Love isn't in our QB 13, 14, 15 conversation. Lance is out of there. Maybe the rookies are struggling, but even then some of the older guys drop, like Dak or Tua. Like who's to say that's not going to happen, right? Like, listen, I'm not saying I love Jordan Love, pardon the pun. I'm saying the quarterback situation in the NFL is pretty bad, and we don't have a whole lot of proof that Jordan Love is bad at football, right? Like, you know, he had a real stinker start at one point, like, but then he really, you know, he looked pretty good in the limited action he had filling in for Rodgers last year. You know, the team was, you know, the team loves him. You know, they say he's taking a step forward. They're building the offense around him. They're going to plug him in. He's going to, you know, to that easy to understand, you know, maybe not easy to understand, like, you know, because of the verbiage in the offense, but like easy to, like, you know, like the quarterbacks just have to make, you know, quick throws and, you know, be button pushers for a West Coast type, Shanahan type offense, right? And they got pass catchers, they got offensive, like, I think they're setting them up to do well. Who's to say that Jordan Love isn't, you know, a solid QB too in the Superflex at some point, you know?
I mean, he looked like he had a pretty good connection with Christian Watson too, so that was a good thing when he played. They looked like they were in pretty good sync there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm smashing that Najee side.
Yeah, just accepted it, so. I have my first share of Najee Harris.
Good for you. And just, you know, don't come knocking if I'm ever wrong on that. But all right, so
that would be your fault.
Let's see. Najee for AJ Dillon in the 202.
I'll take Najee.
Najee for Javonte and Deontay. That's a little tougher.
Yeah, I really like Deontay Johnson. I'll take that side.
Najee straight up for Christian Watson.
I'll take Christian Watson.
Mm-mm. As much as I like Watson, he's my wide receiver 20, and I think he's got big upside. Could really, you know, get up there with some of the elite names that we talk about. There's also, I think, as much a chance that he could, you know, he's in that tier of wide receivers. Like, who the hell knows? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think I'd take the bell cow back there. Let's see. Najee plus Geno plus Kirk. Christian Kirk.
Okay.
For Fields.
I'll take Fields.
For sure. We've seen a couple trades out there where people are giving away Fields and Mahomes and Herbert for not much. Ramondre for Stephon Diggs.
I'll still take Stephon Diggs.
I think I'd probably do that too because of the positional thing. Yeah, I think I might do that, right? Here's a fun one for you. On May 11th, Ramondre plus Mike Evans, plus Evan Engram for CMC.
Ramondre, Mike Evans, and what?
Evan Engram for Christian McCaffrey.
I'll take Christian McCaffrey.
I think so too. Yeah. Javonte plus Ridley for Jonathan Taylor.
I'll take Jonathan Taylor.
Javonte plus a 24 first for Travis Kelce.
I'll take Javonte in the first.
Is it the age thing with Kelce?
Yep. That's all it is.
I just think you could probably get more than a future first and will he start the year with the knee running back for like the tight end three.
I think you could definitely get more, but I think I'd still lean that side just for youth.
When it comes to startups, the streets have these guys real close. Najee at the 410, Ramondre at the 501, and Javonte at the 505, right? So there's no like, well, at cost, blah, 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 right? Because their costs are so similar. So it just comes down to who you like better. And if you're telling me that I can get my running back 7 at the 410, you know, when my running back 15 is going at the 505, then yeah, you know, I'll take my running back
at the
410. All right. So I think that just about does it for the lists that we wanted to talk about tonight. Any minds changed, Josh? Anything that you might do, bump a guy up or down based on our conversations tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to bump Rashad Penny up a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. no, I'm going to look more into Tank Bigsby, and I might move him up just a little bit. And honestly, thinking about it, I could probably move Kenneth Walker down some just because I'm so high on some of these other guys like Pollard. I mean, I still like Etienne a lot, Josh Jacobs. So, yeah, I might have to move Walker down a little bit.
I might be convinced to nudge Akers up a little bit from where I have him and Penny up from where I have him. I'm standing my ground on Etienne, Walker, and Russ, and Tank, and Charb. But yeah, no, I think you made a good case for Akers and Penny for sure. God, I really want you to
rotate it. I mean, where Rashad Penny's going, he's technically goes straight to my bench based on the draft. So I'm definitely able to, I feel good about doing that, even like a late flex play if you've got some quarterbacks.
I mean, you bring up an important point, right? Because he's going at the 1501 between Romeo Dubs and Kayshon Boutte. So, like,
yeah. And he's, I'll take a shot, yeah. If he gets hurt,
That's as the RB49, even lower than I want, than I have him. Like, give me him over those two guys any day, right? That's exactly. When you're pounding those running backs that are an injury away or whatever, or even might have standalone value, yeah.
I was drafting him there even when he wasn't on the Eagles, so now I'm just smashing it even more.
Right. Well, we're venturing into, I don't know, hour 45 territory at this point, which I don't know if we're allowed to do. Sorry, Jeff. so let's land the plane on this
one. We're going to get fired.
All right. So please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review on the audio feed. Please make sure if you're watching here on YouTube, either now or later, that you like the video, leave some comments, and of course, subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications. We're going to pull our logo design content in the name of not liking unpaid labor, even though you're looking at us do it right now. time for plugs. Josh, where can you find your work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Rotonaut, Rotonaut. I'm sometimes in our Going For Two Discord, which everyone should join, especially with Scott Fishbowl going around. And I was going to take this second just to say, if you haven't, you know, tried to get in, you should, and get to charity. It's for a good cause. It's a fun, big tournament to do. So that's, invites are starting to go out. So be sure and do that and donate to a charity.
Absolutely. But
do research about which charity. Don't just, yeah.
For sure. And let's see, you can find me, of course, at FFJunkie_ on Twitter, on this show on Saturday nights, goingfor2.com with articles and rankings. In June, I'm going to do like a 4-part series on dynasty running backs, sort of like what it used to be like, what happened, what it's like now. And then, you know, going to be trying to do a little more writing maybe in the summer. We'll see. I've also caught on with rpofootball.com. I'm going to be doing some videos, I think, for them and some short articles as well. Going to maybe start on a couple of those videos next week. And, of course, Dynasty Fever podcast at Dynasty Fever Pod, which, you know, we record on Wednesdays. Audio only comes out on Thursdays. As Josh said, go to goingfor2.com for all your fantasy needs, articles and stuff about everything fantasy related. And then in the bottom right, there's that little purple Discord thingy, and you click on that. We got hella channels, lots of conversations, arguing about trades, watching Jamie steal players from the toddlers that he plays with in his sleeper leagues.
It's Probably his three-year-old.
Oh, geez. Some of the trades that people are giving Jamie, like, come on.
Hey, Jamie just became a co-manager with me on Orphan, so I'm hoping to get some of that karma.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of picks and a good roster.
So. Maybe that magic pixie dust will get there and, you know, be prepared to get a lot of Roshan. Yeah, and of course, as Josh mentioned, we are like the place to be in that Discord for Scott Fishbowl mocks, and there's like a channel for every draft slot and that sort of thing. Yep. So make sure you do that. But for now, as usual, you know, thanks for being with us. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Go Irish. Go Braves.